We continue the Shiur in Gemara. We were discussing the last Shiur, the preliminary stage called Ikvata de Mashiacha, stage just before the coming of Mashiach. We know that when Mashiach comes, the world will be completely changed for the better, as far as the Jews are concerned. But the Gemara warns always that just prior to Mashiach's coming, times will be extremely bitter. There'll be a lot of suffering just before Mashiach comes. And it's this time, this era, this period, that the Gemara describes. As stated, the Gemara says that you can recognize the coming of Mashiach momentarily by the fact that at that time, what will increase most will be chutzpah. Chutzpah means arrogance, disrespect for law, disrespect for elders, a complete flouting of the authorities, and a disdain, dislike and disdain for the elders in wisdom. Religion-wise, the Gemara says that those who will be religious, those who will fear Hashem, will be the ones that will be most hated by the layman, the ordinary layman. And of course, this means the Chachamim, the rabbis, the Talmidei Chachamim, they will be disrespected, will be mocked and jeered at, rather than the Kavod of Torah, which should be expected of them. Most important, the emet, the truth, will be completely hidden. The world will be filled with lies, with hypocrisy, and a world filled with sordid, base type of principles. There will be no honesty, no sincerity, no morals of any kind. It will be a bitter, black world, comparable to the generation of the flood, the time of Noah, comparable to the cities of Sodom and Amorah. Now, it's amazing that we're speaking about something, the Gemara states, and yet, when we speak about this, we can actually feel it. Everything that is said here, we could sense, we could detect in the air, in our surroundings, in the city we live in, and just about throughout the entire world, because this generation is so different from all past generations. This generation gap could have taken place in 1,000 years rather than just a period of 10 or 20 years. So that if we feel very badly, if we feel sad about what we see, the one consolation we have is the knowledge it is certain that Mashiach is about to appear. One more item. Beinazal warned. This warning was given by the Beinazal about 180 years ago. Beinazal said then, I'm telling you now, predicting in advance, there'll come a time when, just as there was a flood in the time of Noah, a flood of water that destroyed the world, there will come a time when there'll be a flood of apikursut and kefira, a flood of atheism. This flood will cover the entire world. People will stop believing. There will not be that true emunah, faith. And this flood, though the Gemara says that the waters of the flood spared Eretz Yisrael, the waters did not go into Eretz Yisrael, still it is written that some of the drops of the flood did spurt into Eretz Yisrael. This, the Ben Azal said, refers to the fact Eretz Yisrael means the pure, the holy, that this flood of kefira, of atheism, will penetrate into the hearts of some of the best of the Jews, some of the greatest, most faithful Jews too. They too will be affected. Ben Azal says, since I am warning about this in advance, it would stand to reason that people would be on their guard. They will not allow this to reach them. Yet despite my warning, Ben Azal said, despite this warning, despite knowing this in advance, It will still affect the entire world, except for a chosen few will be saved. About this, there is a pasuk, sentence in the Navi, which says, Le'echoz bekanfot ta'aretz. If we can picture it, Hashem will take hold of the wings of the world, both sides of the world, v'yin arun eshayim imena. He will shake this world, shake it very hard, and all those who are eshayim will sort of fall off from it, meaning they'll be destroyed, they'll fall away. Who will remain clinging to the world? Those who have true faith, because the word aretz generally is taken to represent faith. Shechan Eretz Ure'ei Emunah. In Torah, we find throughout that we speak about Emunah, we speak about, use the word, the term Eretz for it. Eretz, world or earth. So this means that those who are weak in faith will be shaken off, they will fall away. To bring this into better perspective, we find in the Gemara too, it says, the Gemara tells us a very frightening thought or a frightening statement. When the Jews were in Egypt, and during the time of the 10 plagues, the first 8 plagues, blood, frogs, lice, wild animals, the skin disease, so on, all these plagues, the first 8, were directed at the Egyptians alone. Not one single Jew suffered. The 9th plague, the plague of darkness, when it was pitch black in Egypt, and for the Jews, there was bright light that would seem that here, too, it was only for the Egyptians. And yet the purpose of this plague was to destroy not the Egyptians, but the Jews. And this 9th plague, at that time, the population of Jews in Egypt was exactly 3 million. 3 million Jews in Egypt. And during those 6 days of darkness, 2,400,000 Jews died. Only 600,000 remained, 600,000 Jews left Egypt in the Exodus when they were freed. Why did 2,400,000 Jews die, which is a ratio of 4 out of 5 Jews died then? Because only those Jews who believed the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, who believed his continual warning, his continual assurance that that Hashem would take the Jews out of slavery, they had faith in Moshe Rabbeinu and faith in Hashem, they deserved to be rescued. Those who did not believe the words of this great prophet, they did not have emunah in Hashem, they could not live to see the leaving Egypt. And therefore, they died during these 6 days of darkness. The Gemara says that when Mashiach will come, there will be a bright light, a tremendous degree of simcha, happiness, that will overtake every single Jew at that time. Imagine the simcha of suddenly seeing Mashiach come. And know that this long exile of 2,000 years has come to an end, that this exile of being trodden, stepped on, persecuted by Goyim for so many thousands of years, so many centuries, so many millions upon millions of Jews who had suffered at the hands of these persecutors, that this long exile has come to an end. Imagine what kind of simcha that would be. But this simcha, the Gemara says, will be limited only to those Jews who had faith during their lifetime. If each day they said, I believe implicitly Mashiach is coming, and I pray he should come, those Jews will remain to see the miracle of Mashiach's coming at that generation when he comes. The ones who do not have that faith, then prior to his coming, just before he comes, those will die just as the 4 out of 5 Jews died during the days of darkness in Egypt. So we see here that this warning that Abinazar gave, I'm telling you now in advance, there's going to come a time when there will be this wave of atheism, the opposite of emunah. It's going to overtake, overpower a majority of Jews. 4 out of 5 is a large number. You're being warned in advance. Strengthen yourself in faith. Don't fall. Don't become a victim or a casualty. Despite this warning, Abinazal said, the words of the Gemara will come true. Majority of Jews will fail to live up to the full degree of emunah, and they will not be zocheh to see the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara says there's a pasuk in Avi, Pasuk says, Shomer Mami Leil, Shomer Mami Laila. Shomer means the angel speaks out. And he is asked, the angel in heaven is asked by many other hosts of others, Mami Leil, what does Hashem say? What about this long galut? Mami Laila, the galut, suffering of the Jews is considered night, the darkness of night, suffering. What about this long night? But he will answer. Hashem says, Ata boker v'gam laila. The morning will come. It will come. There will be morning. There will be light. But before you have morning, you must first have night, the darkness of night, which means the suffering that comes before the light. Now, in order to be zocheh, to see this light, the light of day, the light of the coming of Mashiach, a person must prove his faith when? During the time of darkness. When it's most bitter, most black, when the suffering is at its greatest height, he must prove his faith then. If he does, then he is deserving of seeing the light of Mashiach's coming. And here Rabbeinu Zal tells a story to illustrate this. Very clear story that will shed light on this whole topic. Story of two soldiers. This was in the Russian army. Two soldiers in the army. One was a Jew, so one was a non-Jew. But being together, they were friends, and they would have vacation or time off at the time of their holidays. The Jew would have time off on the Passover holiday, Pesach. The Goy would have time off at his holiday. But this Goy had nobody, no friends to go to, so the Jew advised him, take off at the Jewish holiday, and I'll tell you how to really enjoy yourself, really celebrate. The Goy did this, and the Jew said to him, you go to the town, go into the rabbi's house, introduce yourself as a Jew, and that's all. Say you want to join the Seder evening in the rabbi's house. You go there, you're going to find yourself in a home that's resplendent, beautiful utensils, table set up, a meal fit for a king. You really enjoy that evening because if you're hungry, you find yourself with the best meal you ever ate. This guy was happy about that. He didn't eat anything that day. He came to the rabbi's house and he asked, could you take inside the soldier who needs place for a Seder? He just knew the word Seder. The rabbi said, naturally, welcome. Night of Pesach, it's a mitzvah to take aside guests. This goy sat down at the Seder. He had never seen this before in his life, so he watched with curiosity. He saw the table set up, the plates, the goblets for wine. The rabbi, his wife, his children seated around the table. And he decided to remain silent and just follow their moves. He saw the way they filled up the goblets with wine. The rabbi stood up, he said the kiddush, blessing over it, but everyone drank the entire goblet of wine. Of course, he had to do it too. He did not find that pleasant. After having eaten nothing in the entire day, to drink a whole glass of wine, an empty stomach wasn't too pleasant, but he figured that's the custom, fine, it's worth it to go through this unpleasant item in order to get to that beautiful meal, that sumptuous meal that I was promised by this Jew. He drank the cup of wine and waited for the meal to be served. Then, expecting this meal, he saw that the rabbi took out a small piece of cucumber or celery. He cut a tiny piece off and handed it to each one at the table. That's the karpas, which comes after the first cup of wine. And this was a surprise to him. If you're hungry, you want to eat. What's this tiny bit of vegetable? But that's the custom. It's worth, he'll take this too. We'll take this with the rest as long as he gets to that good meal. After this was done, then he saw the rabbi place the matzot in front of him and expecting to start eating. Instead, he called upon his children one by one to get up and recite the four kushiot. The four questions. Each child had to show off how well he could say it. This took time. As they were singing, his mouth was drooling, waiting for food. Then he figured himself, get finished. These rotten brats holding me up. Everyone has got to show off and drag it out. Finally, the last one is finished. He said, good. He got rid of the children. Now let's eat. This, of course, he said all to himself. The children finished. Now they're at my take. The Haggadah opened it up and started to read page after page, slowly explaining to them the miracles in Egypt. He stood there with disbelief. How can this keep going on? Here, an hour has passed more, and they're still reading. Finally, the rabbi closed the Haggadah, put it aside, and he said, wow, I thought I couldn't hold out. So, he said, here we go now. And I went, had them fill up the goblets of wine again. After waiting over an hour, they had to drink out another cup of wine. He had come to just about the limit of his patience. He couldn't say anything, but he felt that he must have been tricked here. But he'll wait. Perhaps this is they begin with wine, they end with wine, then they go into that big feast. We waited a few minutes more. The rabbi gave out to each one at the table what looked like cardboard to him. The matzah, one of the shmuda matzot, that's hard. He had a bite into that. Didn't taste good at all, especially on an empty stomach. But he went through that motion too. And he said, this is the end. After this, a meal or else. Then he saw that they put the matzah aside. Then the rabbi took a plate, took a handful of something, put it in the hands of each one. They came to him and he figured, well, this must be good. Finalists, at least we're eating something. He put this handful of raw, burning horseradish, maror, into his mouth and swallowed. This was the last straw. This is where he exploded. He jumped up. He let out a curse. You're all insane. He ran out of the house, banged the door shut, and ran out. They looked at him. They looked at this person running out. They couldn't understand what he ran out for. It's the Saturday night. But they figured he must be not well, so they disregarded him. This guy went out burning, furious. He was so furious he wanted to get back at this Jew who had apparently misled him, tricked him into going into a place, into a trap where he was tortured. He waited and waited until the night was over. He waited in his bunk with a desire for vengeance. Finally, the Jew came in, looking hale and hearty and fine. He looked at this guy sitting there with burning eyes. He said to him, what's wrong? Aren't you happy you went to the Seder tonight? How was that meal I promised you? The guy let out a scream, meal? You call that a meal? I ate nothing. They tortured me. They gave me wine, one on top of the other, and they gave me a piece of cardboard, and I had to listen to kids reciting. And not only that, but I also, they gave me at the end something that burnt my insides out, and that was it. The Jew said to him, that was it. You're not serious, that was it. Why was that it? He said, when I got that, I ran out of the house. The Jew said to him, you fool. You had waited 1 minute more. Right after the maror, the bit of maror, comes that whole sweet meal. Don't you realize that in all cases, the pasuk says, v'hayali et erev yihyeor. When does it get brightest? When after it gets darkest. Towards evening, when it gets dark, the prophet says, then will come this great bright light. At the bitterest moment, if you hold out when it comes to the maror, the bitterest moment, hold out then, you'll have all a sweet aftermath after that. So when we see that the time has come where there's so much suffering, there's so much bitterness, and so much darkness becoming pitch black, this is a time to strengthen yourself with faith, because in this midst of the pitch blackness, in this deep darkness, suddenly this bright flash of light will come. In that light will be revealed Mashiach himself to bring this eternal light to the Jews. This is a story and lesson that Benazal said, Benazal told about. So, despite this, we find in the Gemara that there were many rabbis who spoke about the future. These are the rabbis in the Gemara 2,000 years ago. spoke about a future date when Mashiach will come. And they said the days of his coming, the period of his coming, will be so horrifying that these rabbis said, I hope that Mashiach comes and I should not be there to see him. So bitter will that period be. One rabbi after the other said this, I hope I will not see the coming of Mashiach. A very strange statement, because after all, we constantly pray, V'techezena einenu, our eyes should witness, should see the coming of Mashiach, the building of the Beit HaMikdash. How did these rabbis pray not to see him? The answer is, the Gemara says, there's a pasuk, Ani Hashem, Hashem says, Be'ita achishena. Be'ita means Mashiach will come be'ita on time, at the set established time. There's a certain time set for his coming. Achishena means I will hurry the coming of Mashiach, I will expedite and bring him earlier. So the Gemara says these two words are contradictory. If he comes on time, he's not being hurried, he's not being expedited. If he's being brought at an earlier moment, it's not the time of his coming. So what does this mean? The Gemara answers that these are two different statements. They depend upon two factors. The Ita, Mashiach will come at the set time, whatever time that is, whichever year he is scheduled to come, if the Jews do not do Teshuvah. They don't repent, he'll come at that established moment. But Hashem says, Achishena, I'll bring him earlier if the Jews repent. The Jews turn to Mitzvot, they do Teshuvah, then I will bring him earlier. Now, throughout all these years, there's one thing more that can bring Mashiach faster. And that is Yesudim, suffering. Suffering, persecution. The Jews go through these bloodbaths they've experienced in the past generations. All this suffering on the part of the Jews subtracts from the time, the scheduled time of Mashiach's coming. Suffering and the prayers, the constant prayers of the Jews. These tefillot subtract from the scheduled moment, bring Mashiach that much closer. So these rabbis who said, let him come, I don't want to see him, means that if he comes and there was no suffering, that means that at the time of his coming, all the suffering that we've had for these couple of thousand years would have to be compounded into just one single generation, chas v'shalom. Imagine what those Jews then would have to go through. But since now, we're so close to the scheduled time already, but there's been so much suffering, and certainly it's time has come, we could say, we could all say we wish he comes and that we wish we could see him too. Because with all the suffering that's been subtracted, it's been done, it's been experienced so far, there cannot be that much more suffering to go at the time of his coming. So our tefillah today should be strengthened in imploring Hashem, bring Mashiach closer. Bring him now. This is the time that he should be here. This time he should. Many places in the Gemara where the Gemara tells the signs of his coming. A lot of these signs, the Gemara itself warns afterwards, are misleading. For example, the Gemara says that the 7 years prior to Mashiach's coming, there'll be special signs to designate, show that these are the 7 years before his coming. There'll be years exactly in order. The first year will be a time of suffering. Second year will be a time of wealth, riches, and a famine, then wars, and so on, showing in succession these 7 years. And then the Gemara says, but there have been such kind of 7 years, and the Gemara says that they have not been in exactly that order. Then the Gemara says further other types of signs that will take place, which will show that this is the time of his coming. And yet, despite all this, the Gemara says, stop talking about signs. Stop predicting or making mathematical calculations to show Mashiach is coming in this certain year. Because if you do that, you're driving Mashiach away, chas v'shalom. There's no such thing as predicting, foretelling the exact date. There's no such thing as explaining or describing what it will be like in the year or two before his coming, before Mashiach's coming. The predicting the date of Mashiach's coming will do more harm than good. There is no such thing as a person predicting accurately the date of his coming. A Jew is supposed to look forward to his coming continually, perpetually, every day of his life, and then he'll be zocher to it. But don't drive Mashiach away by saying that you figured out the date through certain calculations. This is impossible for anyone to do. Now, the second item is Mashiach's coming, as is taken the usual type of approach or description of his coming, is that Mashiach, the son of King David, will come. He will rule over the Jews as a king. The Beit HaMikdash will be built, and then we'll have an era of peace. But before Mashiach comes, the Gemara says there are a number of items that must be taken care of. For one thing, we have the battle, the war, known as the War of Gog Umagog. This Gog Umagog, apparently, from the commentaries, it means Gog is the king, Magog is his country. Many people at times have tried to falsely interpret this as a certain king, whether it was the Tsar of Russia, or it was the Nazi regime, or it was the king of Spain, and so on. Each one tried to apply this to a certain country, to a certain king. Well, these applications, of course, are false. Gog Umagog first means, this is Bigimetria 70, Gog Umagog, which means the combination of the evil of all the 70 basic nations on earth will make war against the Jews. What is this evil of all 70 nations combined? This is Kefira, the opposite of Emunah and Hashem. They will try to instill this Kefira in the Jews, Chas v'Shalom. This is the main war before Mashiach's coming. It's this battle that Mashiach will have to do against the nations on earth. When Mashiach does come to do battle, here the Gemara says, let's be aware of the fact that there is more than one Mashiach. There is a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. Why so? Because Yaakov Avinu had two main wives, Rachel and Leah. From Rachel, the main son was Yosef. From that wife, there must come a Leah, sort of king of the Jews. From Leah, the main tribe was Yehudah. Yehudah was chosen by Hashem as the tribe of kings. King David came from the tribe of Yehudah. The word Yehudah itself, the Gemara says, consists of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Hashem's name, and a Dalet standing for David, that Hashem chose David HaMelech from this tribe to be king of the Jews. So these two will produce a Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. The ultimate king of the Jews, of course, Hashem has sworn to King David that his children, his descendants, will remain as king of Jews forever. So that the ultimate king of the Jews will be Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef will be the commanding general first, will come to do battle against these evil nations. And of course, though he will be successful, the Gemara says he will be killed in this battle. There'll be a special period of mourning, though it'll be a moment of victory, moment of happiness, victory for the Jews. Yet, there'll be this period of mourning over the passing of the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, these two, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, them is hinted at in the first letter of the Aleph Bet, the letter Aleph itself. Letter Aleph consists of the two yuds on each side and a vav in the middle. The vav represents always the tzaddik, the luchot, the tablets, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah, which means Moshe Rabbeinu in this case. On both sides, the two yuds are on top Mashiach ben David, the bottom Mashiach ben Yosef. This is a hint at the fact that when the victory will come ultimately, we will have these two kings, these two Mashiachs arrive, with Mashiach ben David as king, but the head of the Jews will still be Moshe Rabbeinu. Because even a king must take his instructions and guidance from the tzaddik, from the head tzaddik, the chief rabbi, at his time. At that time when Mashiach comes, then we will have what the Gemara says is as Yashir Moshe Ovnei Yisrael, you say in the Shirat Hayam, as Yashir Moshe Ovnei Yisrael, then as, not then at the time of the dividing of the waters of the Red Sea, Moshe Rabbeinu the Jew sang a song, but as then in the future, Mashiach will come, and we will have Tchiyat HaMetim, the dead will be resurrected, will be brought back to life. Yashir is atid, future, not past tense. Yashir Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael, the same Moshe Rabbeinu, will rise up then, together with the Jews as people, to sing the song of praise to Hashem for this greatest and happiest of all events, the coming of Mashiach, and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, or the building of the permanent Beit HaMikdash, the third one, which will last forever. Now, the point still is that the coming of Mashiach is still based upon our tefillot, our prayers, and our emunah. No matter what happens, we must maintain strongly our faith, based upon tefillot, based upon teshuvah. Therefore, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was once standing Miron, at the cave of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal. And there he met Eliyahu Hanavi, who came to visit that cave often, because the tzaddik is not dead. The tzaddik is alive at all times. That's why the Zohar Kadosh says, when you visit the grave of a tzaddik, you're not visiting the dead chas v'shalom. Tzaddik is always called alive. If you met Eliyahu Hanavi there, Rabbi Shimon Levi asked Eliyahu Hanavi, can you tell me when is Mashiach coming? So he said to him, why don't you ask him yourself? He asked, where can I find him? He gave him instructions at which part of Gan Eden he would find him. He came there. Rabbi Shimon Levi was so great, the Gemara says that he was allowed in heaven at will, free will. He was the one who eventually stole a sword from the angel of death. This was a prior time to that. He came to Mashiach, and he asked him, may I ask you a question? He said, yes. A very short question. Emat Atimar, when are you coming? Mashiach said, I have a still shorter answer. My answer is Hayom, today. Interview is over. Shimon Levi walked out. He came back to Eliyahu Navi, very crestfallen, very sad. And Eliyahu Navi asked him, why are you so sad? He said, because Mashiach made fun of me. Said, why? So he answered, I asked him when he's coming. He answered me today. Well, of course, we have faith, but the way it was said, the way I feel, it doesn't look like he's coming today, because we haven't got Mashiach ben Yosef, we haven't got the war, we haven't got Eliyahu Navi. I can detect that it wasn't serious. Eliyahu Navi answered him, it was very serious. When he told you today, he told you the pure, honest truth. But he was quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. He said, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hayom im bikolo tishmo. Today, if you listen to the voice of Hashem, you return to Hashem, and you will have Mashiach today. It takes only one day. The Gemara promises that the one day, the best day, of course, is Shabbat. All the Jews would observe one Shabbat. It's all they need. Mashiach would come instantly after Shabbat. Of course, the word Shabbat is the same letters as the word Teshuv, Teshuvah. That means that Shabbat would prove Teshuvah. But that could mean any day of the week. All the Jews would do Teshuvah. They would honestly repent. This would immediately bring Mashiach. Otherwise, it takes so much suffering, such a dragging out of time, and so much bitter experience and so many prayers. So at least what we must do is not to delay his coming. So I once had the experience of speaking to Rabbi Koch of Leibzell about this topic, and I asked Rabbi Koch of Leibzell, I would like to present the same question as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked Mashiach. Only don't give me the same answer, because I know that answer already. Give me a different answer that's more concrete, more tangible. When is Mashiach coming? But without any deviations. But he said, fine. The answer is now. Not today, right now. So I said, all right. Well, the interview is not over yet. He's coming right now. If that's 100% true, why don't I see him? Then he said, very simple. If you would stand still, just stay in one spot and look, you'll see. Meaning, he said, that it is true. Mashiach is coming. He's on his way to us. If we would stand still, that means if we would not be tzaddikim, if we just wouldn't do any sins, just do nothing, he would reach us. But the fact is that he is coming to us, and we are constantly retreating. We're moving backwards. By our wrongs, we're moving away from Mashiach. Time has come. He should be here now. To the all the prayers that we have done, to all the suffering we have had, and he should be here momentarily. If we would stop moving back away from him through our sins, he truly have come already. If we do not stop moving back, if Chas v'Shalom, the Jews do not repent, if there is no mobilization of all Jews to bring about the coming of Mashiach suddenly, this will not detain him for one second, because we still have the Be'itah. We still have the scheduled time, which means the latest possible time for Mashiach's coming, which cannot be delayed one moment. It cannot come a moment after that scheduled time. And that scheduled time, according to the Zohar Kadosh, and of course we must stress again and again that that scheduled time has become void completely due to the constant tefillot, so many countless prayers on the part of the Jews that have completely voided that time. The tefillot have definitely subtracted from that time a great many years. How many years exactly we don't know, but we are certainly positive. We firmly believe enough to bring Mashiach in our time, enough to bring him today. The scheduled time, the last possible time, according to the Gemara, is the year 6000 is the last scheduled moment for Techiyat HaMetim. The dead come back to life. The space interval between Mashiach's coming, the Techiyat HaMetim, is 40 years, according to most rabbis in the Gemara. Some say it is more. But the majority opinion of the rabbis in the Gemara and the Zohar Kadosh is 40 years interval, which means the year 5960 would be the last possible moment of the scheduled time for Mashiach's coming. Now, this would be an absence of faith entirely to say that that is the time of his coming, because that shows we have no faith in tefillah and prayer, no faith in the acceptance of tefillah. We must have pure emunah. It's this emunah that's demanded of us, that though we see the darkness and the suffering, we still have to have emunah that Hashem accepts our tefillot, that he is listening to us, that he is adding up this tefillot to subtract from the time of Mashiach schedule coming to an earlier date. Certainly without question, the tefillot of so many thousands of years, so many centuries, by so many great tzaddikim, so many countless Jews who have given their lives for the sake of this faith, have surely, unquestionably subtracted more than 200 years from the scheduled date, which means that without question, Chas v'Shalom, it is certain that Mashiach's coming is due momentarily. Now this is what the Gemara says, at one more point. The Gemara says Mashiach will come to a generation dor shekulo zakai ol kulo chayev. Generation where all will be tzadikim, or where all will be the shayim. And of course, this is something which seems impossible. How can you have all people in the generation tzadikim? Can it be all tzadikim? If so, Mashiach would have come long before that. Could there be all the Shaim without the study of Torah? The world cannot exist. This world was given a contract of life, of existence, only based upon the study of Torah. If there'd be no study of Torah, the world would cease to exist. How can this statement be valid, be real, that Mashiach would come to a generation all tzadikim or all the shayim? These two items are impossible. All tzadikim, fine, after Mashiach comes. But before his coming, how can that be possible? Especially we find that there was once a case with one of the great rabbis in Europe who was approached by one of the evil members of his village, the city, who came and told him, the Siddhashah said to the rabbi, that Mashiach's not coming is due to the rabbi. He is guilty for detaining Mashiach. The rabbi said, why do you say that? I am doing my best to bring him. You with your sins are the one that detain him. The Hashem said, no, not at all, because according to this Gemara, it says Mashiach will come at a time when all will be tzadikim or all the shayim. Majority are already the shayim, he said. It's very easy to be a Hashem. You're the one that's holding up this minority. You would mean tzaddik, we'd have Mashiach already. Rabbi said to him, you have misinterpreted this Gemara. The true meaning of the Gemara is there cannot be a generation of all tzaddikim or a generation of all the shayim. What this means is that we can see this spring to life right now. This means is that throughout all generations, we have had three levels of Jews. There were tzaddikim, there were Benonim, middle of the road, and there were the Shayim. Middle of the road, meaning not that they were half and half. Middle of the road means that they were hidden. They were masked. They hid their true colors. They pretended to be good, and they committed sins when no one saw them. There will come a time, the Gemara says, time of Mashiach, when everyone living will be either a complete tzaddik openly, a religious openly, he'll be revealed as one who is religious, or he'll be revealed as completely a rasha. There'll be no one in the middle hidden. The time of Mashiach's coming, this whole lie will be uncovered. What can be more truthful or more actual than what we see today? Today we find that there are no more in-betweens. Today the majority of those we thought were religious have turned away. People have revealed themselves to be sinful and non-believers. They've come out with it openly. And those who want to do teshuvah have come forward openly begging for knowledge of Torah and unashamedly showing their true feelings, true spirit of emunah and faith in Hashem. It is at this type of generation that Mashiach will come because, as we said previously, those who are the Shaim will not be able to claim that they are tzadikim. The Yishayim will be wiped out before Mashiach's coming. Those who are kofrim, non-believers, who do not believe, do not pray for Mashiach's coming. And those who are tzadikim, those who will hold on yet, hold tight to this degree of faith that is necessary with which to be zocher to see the coming of Mashiach. The main point, the main lesson of this, these words that Rabbeinu Zal are, that the warning was given. Generation before Mashiach will be a very bitter and dark one. It will be a time when people will be drawn, sucked in to this kefira, this atheism, by these new inventions, these new innovations, by a new scientific world, a world of science, a world of revelations, a world of space, a world that is completely different than the past, a modern world. And this generation will be covered with all these atheistic ideas of science. People even who are good, learned in Torah, will be drawn to them magnetically. It's this type of generation Rabbeinu Zal warned about. Watch out for this wave of kefira. Watch out for this flood that will drown so many, it'll take so many casualties. Remain tight, remain solid in Emunah. We'll be zocheh to have this pure Emunah now, with the assurance, Rabbeinu Zal said, Hashem, keep, hold those to him who have this Emunah. We'll be zocheh to see the coming of Mashiach, and with that pure Emunah in Hashem, pure Emunah in the Torah, pure Emunah in the Tzadikim, Tzadik Emet, with this we'll be certain that we will be zocheh with our eyes, physically, in our time, during our lifetime, we'll be zocheh to see the actual coming of Mashiach, the Binyan Bet HaMikdash, the Simchai Klalit, the Heira B'Yameinu, Amen, B'Yameinu.